Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just click the link in the show description to support now.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey friends, welcome to another edition of the Tennis and Bagels podcast. We just finished wrapping up the men's draw here with Jack Edward, and he's here again to join us for the women's. And it should be incredibly exciting, and I think we'll have a lot of good, different opinions this time. So, how are you doing, Jack?
Yeah, I'm very good, Vange. Thank you. And yeah, the last one we had a lot of similar opinions, a lot of the same picks to go through. The odds are very unlikely that we've got the same people to go through in the women's draw. So, should be exciting to talk about. A lot of interesting things to bring up. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Let's do it.
Yep, let's do it. All right, so the number one seed here is Iga Świątek, and she's slated to play Jessica Pegula, the eighth seed, in the quarterfinals. Świątek, as of late, has lost 4 of her last 9 matches. Obviously come down to earth after an incredible 37-match winning streak that she was on. Obviously, we know she doesn't like the conditions or the balls here, because the men and women, they use different balls. The men use the extra heavy-duty balls. The women use different ones, which are lighter, and Świątek has a difficult time controlling them. So, with that knowledge in mind, who do you see? What stands out most to you about this whole quarter, but Świątek and Pegula? We'll start with the Świątek part first.
It's super difficult to know where to start. Actually, you know, the first thing I would say, if you were going to put an odds on bet for somebody to make their way through at least the first 4 rounds and then have a decent chance in the quarterfinals, you'd probably be looking at Jessica Pegula, who has just been playing super solid stuff all year. That stat I had, but it's like players ranked 15 to 60 this year, 17 and 0 or something like that. I'm sure it would be even better than that after Cincinnati. She just takes care of business, basically, for against anybody that she should be beating. She maybe just lacks a little bit against the better players. But yeah, I mean, anybody there, I maybe would have been scared again about a few players maybe going into the draw. Elise Mertens will be a tough third round, but I could see her getting through that. Generally, though, none of the other players scare me too much. Maybe the fourth round, okay, Kvitova could be a problem, but there's no guarantee Kvitova gets through. Has historically struggled with the heat at the US, and you know, if she went out in round one, I'm sure a lot of people wouldn't bat an eyelid if she got to the quarterfinals. Exactly the same, you know, her results can be pretty to and fro. The one player that maybe could cause her problems, I'm zipping about a wee bit, Vance, but I would just like to mention her before I let you take the reins for a little bit, is Clara Towson. Because Clara Towson is probably one of the best, potentially best, sorry, hardcourters to come up the rankings in a long time. She's obviously not quite there yet. Her game is very up and down. The way she strikes the ball, super flat, but plenty of margin at the same time. It's not totally unsafe. She should be doing really scary stuff in a hard court. Just likes the high bounce as well. Not so much the natural surfaces. I imagine her record is pretty terrible probably on the natural surfaces, but hey, on a hard court, I mean, if she's playing well enough, I think she could beat anybody. That is a big question mark, though, because she's not played too much going into the tournament. I did see in John Silk's show that Clara Towson was my pick for the title, because why not? Towson could be Towson. I've revised that, though, so I'm not giving away my cards too early, but I still fancy her chances to be dangerous, is all I'm saying. However, yeah, in summary, Jessica Pegula would be my odds-on favourite to get to the quarters there, I think.
Yeah, so she is actually the one that you can rely on the most in terms of consistency. So many quarterfinals, semifinals, obviously like in the fourth in the race. She's put together a really stellar year. Only has one title though, but I feel like with these, I feel like she's due for a big result at some point. And I like her draw here. Victoria Golubic in the first round is somewhat tricky, but she's a qualifier and nothing that Pegula, I don't think, will have many issues with. Yeah. And obviously Mertens, I think you can pencil her into the third round with that stat of winning, having reached the third round at least in the last 18 majors, all of them in a row. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, Kvitova, you just never know what to expect from her day in, day out. Obviously, this condition should be good for her. I think she made the fourth round in 2020 and lost a close one to Shelby Rogers. So that's one I
in
didn't
2022,
know.
Really?
Or it was the third round, Rogers? Actually, against Rogers. Yeah, third round against Rogers.
Yeah, it must have been a bit earlier, because I don't think Rogers made the quarterfinal.
And that was actually happening the same time as the Djokovic-PCB match. So that's interesting.
Oh, was it? Right. Kind of okay.
Thing here.
But
yeah, that's why I think it fell really under the radar. But the first round that stands out to me here is Xinwen Zhang against Elena Ostapenko. I just look at that for... Oh yeah, I guess if we're sticking on the Jessica Pegula side of the quarter, one name that does stick out to me is Linda Fruvatova. So she's just come through the qualifying. She's obviously very talented. She put together some nice wins in Miami, I believe. She beat Victoria Azarenka there, Elise Mertens, some good names that... you know, sort of made me rise an eyebrow, like, oh, this girl is quite good, actually.
Yeah, and, I remember Victoria Azarenka sort of walking off in a little bit of a huff there, actually.
I love the bold take on Clara Towson. I don't think it's that bold, but it's just that she hasn't been playing for so long. She's not been, you know, obviously been injured for about 6 months. Muguruza and Towson, I have no idea what's going to happen in that match. No clue whatsoever. Muguruza, not been in any form since winning the World Tour Finals. That ninth seed is very, very generous.
But, no, totally. It's literally all World Tour finals, surely, almost. Like,
so that
can't be much more than that.
Yeah, but that match between Fruvatova and Xinyu Wang is going to be interesting. You have a lot of kind of under the radar, like Bernarda Pera, I'm not sure what to do with her. She literally has not lost a match.
My two takes in those two players, Vange Fruvatova, I think it's a little bit early on in her career. I think from the ground she's amazing, but just a little bit too young to be getting 3 points on the serve, etc. Maybe against a more experienced player that could make a difference. So I wouldn't really, a third round would be amazing for her, but any further than that, definitely not. Pera, I feel like she likes a lot of time on the return. If she's playing a big server like Kvitova, that could be a bit of a problem. She could maybe get to the second round against Kalinina for sure, but against Kvitova, I would fancy Kvitova's chances. I don't think it's the best matchup. She does like to be afforded a bit of time. So,
yeah, that is interesting. I think I maybe like Pera more in the clay court, just with the windup she has on the forehand. I think that just it gives her a little more time.
Exactly.
Fruvatova was my pick to get to the third round. I could see Muguruza scraping through a really ugly first round with Tosin, since they're both really not in good form, and then Fruvatova versus Kvitova or Kalinina. Like, some of these matches are sort of just stay away in terms of predictions for me.
Oh,
they just feel so 50-50. And the only That's sure bet cool. for me is really just Pegula, and Pegula getting to the quarters is the sure bet there. I guess we could go to Swiatek's side now. And the match that stands out to me in this quarter is Xinwen Zhang against Ostapenko. I keep looking at that Zhang name and I just thinking, oof, that's trouble for Swiatek in the fourth round, just based on the French Open match, and also just how well Zhang has just played in general. She just looks like the real deal.
Yep, totally agree, Vance. I am it's jumping the gun, whatever. I've got her to get through to the semis.
Xinwen? Okay, that's actually a pretty decent pick.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone can really argue.
I think her game is fantastic. Like, when she's on, her game is fantastic. And actually, she doesn't really have that many dips. Like, she's got a very, very decent base level. And her serve is incredible. Like, that's the sort of thing that could cause people nightmares in this surface.
Yeah.
Particularly Swiatek, who obviously, if there was a fourth round between them, I'd pick Xinwen Zhang in that matchup. And then Pegula, it'll be difficult, but she could blow her off the court. So I pick her maybe by like 60-40.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Kennan, I think, is actually kind of going a little under the radar. She had two good wins in Cleveland. First time she's looked so good in a long time. I mean, 8 months off. I know she pushed Sloane Stephens in Canada as well. Remember
she's fighting,
what happened,
isn't she? She's fighting well.
Yeah, she's definitely fighting really well, and I could see the you know, the drop shots and those forehand slices a bit sort of Brooksby-esque, I guess, if you could say, sort of causing Anisimova, who likes rhythm, a lot of problems in the second round. And maybe even Julia Neimer is not an easy first round either. I mean, I guess, big hitter.
No,
but
I would pick Neimer to get through,
okay,
to be honest.
Interesting, I could see a bunch of different results happen there. I'm not picking Kennan to get through, just because, I mean, Xinwen is there. And also Swiatek against Sloane Stephens. I mean, they had a tight match in Cincinnati. That could be tough too, but I
I
just
should have seen that, yeah.
I will still pick Świątek to get to the fourth round. I don't really. Alexandrova could be kind of tough.
Yeah,
Yeah.
Damien picked Alexandra to maybe get through Swiatek, and I kind of see
Interesting.
why. She's such a
Yeah.
flat hitter, hits it really, really big when she's having her day.
Yeah.
I feel like just a little bit too linear for me.
Yeah.
Swiatek should be able to absorb the pace, and sort of because the rally temperament of Alexandra was not airtight. I just think she could probably sustain enough balls that she could come through most of the rallies with, or enough rallies with her for sure.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'd see Świątek, Keemin Zhang in the fourth round, and then I'm picking Zhang.
Wow, I have the same. I have Zhang and Pegula, and I have Pegula coming through.
Okay,
Yeah,
cool.
I think Zhang's
Yeah,
time
fine.
will come, but I just think Pegula has been so rock solid. I have to believe this is a great chance with the U.S. crowd to get to the semis. But just willing her on, just a little bit more steady. But I could and bother Zhang with some really flat hitting. But I could really see. I could also see Zhang really coming through. It's a bit 50-50 for me.
Yeah, I'm picking Zen by a hair advantage, but I like your pick.
Yeah.
Definitely, Pegula's a solid one. Definitely.
Yep, for me. And obviously, if we go to the bottom quarter, I think that's this is Paula Badosa's quarter. Badosa's not been playing so well for a long time. Obviously, she did well in Indian Wells to back up her title by getting to the semis. She had a few, quarters, third rounds, fourth rounds since then, but nothing really jumps off. And she's been struggling a little bit with fitness and withdrawing and retiring in a lot of tournaments. I don't think she's in the right headspace. But that being said, her first few rounds are winnable against Cyrenko and Martic, and Azarenka's not been playing so well as of late. Interesting, you could have a lot of Ukraine and Belarusian clashes early on.
So there is, yeah. No, that's true. I hadn't thought about that. Yeah, Badosa, it shouldn't really be for me, the point of discussion there. Obviously, she's the top seed there, but I don't think in any way it's the kind of court that suits her game,
Yeah,
definitely.
I like Bencic in this section. I have her coming
So
through.
did I had that as well, Vance, but I revised my decision just based on a Pliskova Bencic third round. It's kind of like Pliskova's really only been playing or had bad results, I guess, because of the kind of layoff after the injury and not being on a surface that suited her. The Montreal result, probably in her head, by the looks of things in her post-match press or post-match conferences, whatever, didn't surprise her that much. I think she kind of expected to reach this level again sooner
Yeah.
rather than later. So I don't think it's a flash in the pan or Montreal run.
No,
And
I don't either. And she's had really good results, particularly second half of years, and especially at the US Open, being a finalist and played very well there last year too. So I like that
yes.
call.
So I liked Bencic as well, Vance, but I struggle to definitely see her getting through Pliskova. If she did get through Pliskova, I think she gets to the quarters, but I can't say with total confidence that Bencic wins that match. Do you happen to know their head-to-head out of interest?
Yeah, it's 1-0 for Bencic. They played once in Indian Wells in 2019. And
Right.
Bencic had just come off of winning Dubai 1000 and then had some really good wins, beat Osaka and then beat Pliskova. I think
Right,
lost
okay.
eventually. Yeah, eventually lost in the semis to Kerber. Or, yeah.
Right, okay.
She beat. I remember she beat Pliskova in the quarters there. But that's the only time they've ever played, so very little sample size, really. Yeah.
So Vance, in short, I'm probably picking Pliskova to get to the quarters.
Okay, I have Bencic. So,
Yeah.
I have Pliskova Bencic fourth round. I have Bencic coming through there.
Cool.
But I guess really the quarter that interests me more is this bottom half right here with Raducanu and Sabalenka. And what do you think about Raducanu's first round against Cornet? Let's just start there.
Yeah, I think Corny wins. In short, I think Corny wins, to be honest. I don't think it's going to be one-sided for sure.
Yeah.
But I don't think Raducanu's matches against Williams and Azarenka are really that telling. I think the pair of those players played far below their best. And okay, yeah, you can call them both slam champions and say Raducanu beat two slam champions, but that's not, it shouldn't beat two players playing like that sort of form for sure. I mean, I think she hit like one on first error against Serena Williams. That's
Yeah.
not the sort of game you play against Serena and win, obviously, and then Azarenka had a bit of a shocker. So yeah, that sort of spike of form, or supposed spike of form aside, I just feel like Raducanu's game still isn't, she's getting overpowered on the court, I guess. Corny's not the sort of player to overpower people, fine, but I think she's just tricky enough that she could find a way through Emma. It'll be close though, Vange. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, I feel like it's really close. Raducanu's never lost a first round before in any of her, in any major that she's played so far. She's played five. Cornet did play this week, you know, so she'll have a tough turnaround. So there's that. And Cornet is, I could see Raducanu really struggling against Cornet because of the counter-punching, but also a decent amount of offense, and she's a drama queen for the people, as we know, and she has really good record against, you know, big-name pedigree players early in majors, obviously, with Swiatek this year, and she beat Halep at the Australian Open, and she's on the streak of 63 consecutive majors played, which is amazing and unbelievable because this was supposed to be her last year. But now she's having a career best season at age 32. But something tells me Raducanu is up for this. Somehow I just feel like her level last week, while I do agree it was Serena Williams, much, much, much short of anywhere close to resembling her best. And Azarenka really played a really bad match. I think the match against Jessica Pegula was encouraging. It was two tight sets. And I just feel like she likes these fast courts. I think it looks like she's hitting with a lot more power because those balls and those, she's going back to playing a lot more offensive tennis now under Tursunov. It hasn't been a really big sample size so far, and she is constantly going to be asked about the pressure, and so there's all these factors there, but I could see Emma coming through. It's very 50-50. I actually won't even make a prick. I just think it's,
I totally slipped my mind she was with Tursunov at the moment. That is a big deal for me, just given Tursunov's records. Basically turned around Kontaveit's career. Sabalenka did wonders for her as well, just teaching people how to use offense safely, basically, could be a huge benefit for her, I guess. That's a good point, actually. But yeah, I said, okay, yeah, if she wants to get through that bench, and I'm seeing it as a tight match, so no, I'm not saying Corny for sure.
Yeah, I'm just saying, I'm hesitantly going with Emma, and just
I still would pick her to get beaten by Osaka. Yeah, I would put in the third.
Hey, bench. I like it, actually. It's so here's the thing, is that that Osaka Collins match, I see that as a good match for Osaka to come back to, because Collins hasn't played since July 12th, and she's had a neck injury since then. And the last time they played was in Miami, and it was a routing. Osaka won easily, and it's 3-0 head-to-head. And if Naomi just, like, if she gets in the right headspace and right mindset, I think she's the best player on the hard court even now. So I just don't really see her struggling at all after Collins. Yuvan, I mean, Raducanu in the third round, I think I'll still give Osaka an edge there. Sabalenka, Rybakina, but like, and then when she gets to the quarters, she's undefeated. So,
so you've got her through to the quarters at least in bench.
Yeah, she's gotten through to the quarters four times, and she's won all those times. She's won the major all the times, and she's won a major every year. And every even year, she's won the U.S. Open. So, you know, 2018, 2020. I'm just seeing these parallels, and I was on my pillow last night, and I just had this epiphany. Like, what if Naomi Osaka wins the U.S. Open? Why are we counting her out? I actually think this is a good...
I'm definitely not counting her out. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm really glad you mentioned her, because I feel like if she can get through that Collins match, her odds go way higher from there.
Oh, yeah, yeah, for sure. I would put her through to the quarters as well, but again, I'm putting Pliskova to beat her. I cannot believe it.
No, that's a good matchup for the Pliskova. That's a very even match. Like, it's very serve and, it's very serve and serve plus one heavily.
Exactly,
it could go either way, that's
temper the Osaka return a little bit where other players can't so much do that. So, I'm picking Pliskova to go through. I can't believe I'm saying it, but that's my pick.
Yeah, I have Osaka and Bencic, and, you know, Bencic has obviously caused Osaka a lot of problems. But I think she figured out something in Miami there, and I think, I just can't get that stat past my head with the quarterfinals and going on and winning.
Osaka in the semis then, but
I have Osaka in the semis playing against Pegula.
Love it, good pick.
And I have Osaka winning.
Yep, what? Oh, but the tournament.
Oh, and I have Osaka getting to the final. I'll reveal result later. So
we'll see.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, Osaka against Pegula, that's a good matchup. I'd pick Osaka if that was the case.
Yes.
Keen wins Englo, obviously, might be a different story.
Yeah, that might be tougher. She did beat Keen Win in San Jose, but this is
oh, did she?
Could be different. Yeah. Before the Coco Gauff match, it was Zhang and 6-3 in the third.
Yeah. That's an exciting half of the draw for me, or a quarter of the draw in particular, just from Badosa to Sabalenka, because it's so difficult to call.
Alright.
So difficult to call.
I guess now that I've made my rant on Osaka, I feel good getting that out. So
honestly, Vange, for the feel good pick, I really want Osaka to get through. It'd be amazing. Yeah.
I just think the tour is so much better when she's, you know, happy and playing well, and it's just I just want to see her back in the mix, especially on the hard court where she belongs. She's
too many people counting her out as well. I agree.
Yeah, even last year she was not in a good headspace at all, and she served for the match against Fernandez, and Fernandez got to the final. So like I feel like
she had a match point, maybe.
Yeah, no, she didn't have match point, but she definitely she served for it, and actually played kind of a bad game to get broken, but
so, fingers crossed for her.
Yeah. Speaking of good draws, though, this top half of the bottom section, I do like this section for Halep.
Well,
what are your thoughts on that?
First three rounds, anyway.
Yes, the first three rounds, especially, I do think are favorable for her.
Yeah, I would agree for sure. Marino, pretty big serve, I guess, from forehand combo, not the sort of thing that really troubles Halep. Teichmann, not the best on a hard court for sure, and tends to be able to spin her way using that lefty forehand. For the clay court against a lot of players, still can be dangerous for her day, of course, but Halep should find a way through that as well. I think, all good matchups.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously, Keys just Stremska. That one's kind of interesting. And then winner to play Georgie. Wow, I didn't see that earlier.
It's a lot of big hitters for Keys off the bat, which can actually spell trouble for her, because obviously, it's not quite looking in a mirror, I guess, but it's probably she would prefer to be able to just overpower her opponent than have to play the same game against them.
Mm-hmm. And then a potential Keys versus Gauff in the third round. I do want to say that I am a little bit cautious about Gauff in the second round against Seville. I think that Seville is playing really well.
Yeah, I noticed you were saying that you don't want to underrate her, which is fair.
She's in the final right now, I think, in Granby, is it? She's in the finals of Granby, and she's had some really big wins this year. Actually, she beat Jabor in Indian Wells. She beat Pegula in San Jose. She beat Pegula in San Jose. I really thought she was going to win. It wasn't San Jose. It was the 250 going on at that time. Oh, DC.
Really? What?
It was in Washington DC. Yeah, she beat Pegula in the first round. So I was quite surprised by that. And
that must be one of Pegula's only first round losses of the year, almost. Maybe not actually, but. Surely.
And that's that's the one title she has, which is the DC 2019.
It was a few years ago.
And then this year, but this year she lost in the first round to Seville. So that was that was the match that really made me think, oh, Seville is underrated.
Yeah. Fair. Who was the other top 10 players? Jabeur and Indian Wells, actually. It's still a really good win.
Yeah, I mean, she has had wins this year over, I wouldn't say like top 10 players, but like a Mertens, a Kvitova, the Teichmann,
Raducanu,
I think too. So it's not.
I don't think she beats Gauff, I guess.
I don't think so either. But I just think that'll be a tight one. I actually do have Gauff still coming through. I just have her as a dark horse, but I'm not actually picking her to come through. Yeah. I think I have a Gauff.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft.
Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Hello, fourth round.
Yeah. Keys, obviously, yeah, actually, Keys is just a bit too volatile, so I agree.
Yeah.
Goff, Halep. And then in that matchup, I pick Halep again.
I pick Halep again as well. I can't go look past their head-to-head, which is 4-0. They played three times this year. I know their match in Montreal, Toronto was a lot closer. But really, it also got close because Goff was just crushing the ball, and I think that's what she needs to do against Halep, because she's just as good of a counterpuncher as Halep. Backhand to backhand, they're quite similar. Goff has a bigger first serve, but Halep can also consistently hit through the court better with her forehand and flatten it out and take it early. I think that's the main difference I personally see as well, and also just psychologically, a little bit in her head.
Just results aside, I mean, if we get that match, it'll be a fantastic match.
Yeah,
it's a really exciting matchup for me. Yeah. I feel like for either player to graft an advantage in the point, it takes a lot of variety, a lot of like thinking on your feet. It'll be a really, really good match if we get it.
Yeah, fingers crossed. I really hope we get that, and I do have Halep getting through to the quarters. But now this next section with Haddad Maia and Andreescu and Garcia and Sakari. That's
mental.
That's quite
particularly Haddad Maia to Garcia.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
Mm-hmm. And I think Andreescu is someone who I like the way she played in Canada. Eventually lost to Zhang there, but she showed me some good stuff against Kazakina, and then winning her next round as well. Forgot who that was against, but that's quite a good. But then since then she hasn't played in U.S. Open last year. She played that good match against Sakari in the fourth round, had her chances there. So this has been a good tournament for her.
She lost that, of course. That slipped my mind. She had a very good chance to get through to the quarters. I sort of want to count her out a little bit though, Vansh. I just feel like Haddad Maia and then Garcia.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's too tough for me. And if she did come through Haddad Maia, I don't think Garcia is the kind of player she'd want to play. Just somebody that can kind of turn aggression around on you, and it's maybe not the sort of player she's used to playing. It's kind of interesting to see if Garcia will sustain her form though, and there's maybe lower ranked players that she could be vulnerable against actually. Like she'd maybe prefer to play Andreescu. I think somebody who hits the ball a bit harder actually suits her. It's quite difficult to see for sure Garcia gets through.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, because Garcia, as awesome as she was in Cincinnati, she's still only made one major quarterfinal, and that was in 2017 at Roland Garros. And I just feel like, and obviously last time she went on this run was post US Open, end of 2017, where she kind of peaked at the end of the year, wasn't really leading into a major. This year will be so interesting to see if she can continue to play that aggressive style and aggressive returning, like just literally almost have volleying serves and standing so far in.
Taking
time away and coming to the net. It's very old school. Obviously, she's a fantastic doubles player, but she's just so much more committed to that style. And obviously, it will work well on these fast courts, but if it doesn't work, it could also go really bad. So that's my concern with Garcia. But maybe the momentum just takes her through, and maybe this is now or never. I just feel like it's now or never for Garcia at this point.
Yeah.
Because she's, 28? And I think having gone through the 2017 thing once, I feel like this could be her time. So I'm going to go with Garcia over Haddad Maia in the third round. I have Haddad Maia beating Andreescu as well.
So I Andreescu or Haddad Maia is kind of a coin toss for me actually, but either way I'd pick Garcia over both of them. But then in round four I'd probably pick her over Sakari's just too hard to back. She's too hard to back.
She is way too hard to back. And she plays Maria in the first round, who beat her at Wimbledon in the third round.
Yeah, but then I think Sakari also beat Maria in Australia.
That's true.
That was probably a lot more telling of how this match will go.
Right, I forgot about that one. That's a good point. But I still, yeah, Sakari against... Actually, I do think Sakari can get to the fourth round here. I do.
Yeah, and Paddy as well is a good player to play in a hard court. Yeah. If Paddy even gets through, actually, obviously, Wong maybe more likely to get through, actually, there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see Sakari getting beaten by a player like Risk, to be honest. Like, somebody who can just make her overheat.
Or
like,
even Osorio with the variety.
Yeah, I underrate Osorio. I just feel like the serve maybe isn't as good as it should be. So I'm not sure Osorio gets through. But I do see what you mean. If she were to get to the third round, it would be a difficult match, I think. I just don't think she will get through. Mm. I think Risk Armitage, of course, her name now, would be more of a risk. A risk? Than
nice pun there.
Didn't even mean it. That Osorio Serrano for
smooth,
me.
Smooth, yeah. Yeah, I still... Yeah, I don't feel great about it, but I have Sakari versus Garcia. And I have the result being the same as it was in Cincinnati, with Garcia winning.
Garcia getting through it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's how I feel as well. So yeah, okay, Halep, Garcia, what do you think, Vansh? That's probably the interesting question, because that's where I am.
So
well.
This is where Halep, this is where you really could see two things. You could see Halep really push and persevere and beat a power player who's redlining. But I haven't seen that yet from her. I mean, I think everyone was picking her to win Wimbledon at some point, or even at least get to the final and play Jabeur. But then Rybakina played an incredible match and the racket was on her hands. And I just feel like Garcia could be one of those opponents where, you know, she just, you know, because Halep, as great of a counterpuncher as she is just prone to getting hit off the court sometimes.
Yeah.
So I just feel like, Garcia is the kind of player to really do that and beat her in straight sets, or just kind of, if it becomes a grind fest, then you like Halep's chances a lot more, but it's just, but I just feel like, and also Garcia will be a bit more battle tested. So having faced Sakari the round before, and she has all this momentum on her side. I can't count out the momentum. It's just, it's too tempting for me to just run with it. So I'm going with Garcia in that one.
Interesting. Well, Vansh, I'm going for Halep in this one. I think Garcia, I started alluding to what I was talking about, but I'll kind of elaborate on what I mean.
Yeah.
Against Kvitova, like power players you can hit big down the middle of the court. She's so good at sort of half volleying those shots back into a space where it can't be attacked again, and then setting herself up for a subsequent shot. I think she's really good against power players, is kind of a long and short of it. She's like an aggressive, she's not a counterpuncher, obviously, but she's able to sort of turn aggression into her own aggression, basically, is kind of what I mean.
Yeah.
Against somebody like Halep, I think Halep has the option of making it a grind fest. I don't think she's afraid of doing that, given how she played in Toronto, especially in that final against Harad Meyer, when she didn't really play a very tidy match, but she still managed to come through. She's kind of at that point where her base level is high enough that I'm confident in picking her in a lot of matches, basically. For that reason, I'm going to pick Halep over Garcia.
I like it. I like it because I do really agree about her base level.
Yeah.
Being super high. But it's just that if Garcia is playing lights out, I could also see her just taking the racket away and just crushing second serves and just coming forward and just being relentless for two sets, catching fire basically. But I also see what you're saying with Halep turning defense into attack, and those are all great points. And also, I just checked their head-to-head. It's 7-2 for Halep, but Garcia beat her in Doha this year.
Wow, 7-2.
Yeah.
But okay, yeah.
But Garcia won 4-3 in Doha, indoor hard.
Halep actually wasn't playing terribly at that point in the season either, so it's quite, okay.
It's interesting, but I'll stick with it. I'll just say Garcia.
Okay. Yeah, no, so it's a very interesting match. I think we'll get it, though, Vansh. So we'll see what happens.
Yeah. But yeah, now we go to the Ons Jabeur and then Kontaveit, Serena Williams, all the good stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is a very open quarter for sure, isn't it?
Very open. Sheesh. And Jabeur is the fifth seed here. And obviously this is Annette Kontaveit's quarter. Annette Kontaveit, who had an amazing run last year, this time of the year, from Cleveland all the way till Doha this year. But since then, it's been...
Basically was, propping up the second seeding. I think she had that final in Doha as well, right? But apart from that.
But since then, it's not been great for her, obviously, especially with long COVID and also just losing a lot of matches. So confidence is very low right now. But I feel like this is a good draw that Serena Williams, best draw that I think Serena Williams could have hoped for in the first round. Kovinic is more of a clay court player. She got to the third round of the French Open.
Yeah.
I believe she made a 500 final in Charleston last year that was also on clay. I don't think she can really take time away from Serena with her power, and I don't think she has the kind of variety of, say, like Harmony Tan. All those things being considered, I think this is a really good opportunity for anyone who plays Serena, because they're just going to get up for that match, and it's quite possible we see them peak and just play absolutely out of their mind, given that, you know, everyone wants to face Serena right now just because they want to be part of that history and they want to...
Yeah.
So I have no idea how that's going to go. I have no clue. I don't even know if I would have predicted, because...
Yeah, I could have a bit 50-50.
It's very 50-50. Like, it's just, I just don't see anyone. This section is kind of interesting. I mean, but then I just, I have no idea who's really going to come out of this. Jabeur, I could really see Jabeur. I actually look at Shelby Rogers as somewhat of a dark horse, but even though she's seeded for the first time, which is good, I guess she's seeded, because normally she's unseeded and takes out seeds.
Yeah, I think her serves a big enough weapon that she could find her way through Jabeur, to be honest. I could see her winning that third round.
Mm-hmm, for sure. I actually have Jabeur going out in the second round to Elizabeth Mandlik.
Oh, okay.
So if you don't know, Elizabeth Mandlik is Hanna Mandlikova's daughter.
Ah, okay.
And I watched her play in San Jose. I watched her play against Badosa. And Badosa was actually playing pretty decent that week. She beat Goff and got to the semis and lost to Kazakina.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that third set, and she served for the match. She was overpowering Badosa in baseline rallies. She was serving pretty well. I'm not sure if it was just a flash in the pan, because she did qualify also and had to beat Jill Teichman in the qualifying, who is not easy to beat. And also, you know, U.S. player, and Ons Jabeur lately hasn't been on since the Wimbledon final. You know, I think she actually really prefers clay and grass really over hard in general.
Yeah.
Your U.S. Open results haven't been great. Last year she lost to Mertens in the third round, which isn't a terrible loss, but it's still... you know, she is somewhat prone to early slam defeats, as great as she has been this year, second best player. But I don't know, I just have a feeling about that one. Hanna Mandlikova's daughter, and just being, you know, 21 years of age and just having nothing to lose on a big stage against Jabeur. I don't know. I could be wrong, but I think that's a dangerous match for Jabeur. I really do.
She's not that convincing on a hard court at all. I agree. Definitely. I'll still pick her to get through to the third, but I'm gonna pick Rogers over her, I think.
Yeah, I think I probably would have picked that too as well. If they had played. And then what do you think about Kazakina? Because I like her chances. I like the way she's been playing, even though she's been...
Yeah, I really, really fancy her chances, actually. I think it's so odd, though. Like, I suppose she plays a different game for me on a hard court, for sure. Like, she's able to be more aggressive than she would be on a clay court. I guess she's just got a lot of variety, a lot of feel.
Yeah.
You were talking about how she's able to loop her forehands like crazily to defend and... sort of tee off on it when she does have a bit more time. She can adapt, for sure. That should lend herself. It should lend itself to at least a fourth round, I would imagine. I think she's the favourite over Kurumitova. If Kurumitova gets that far, Van de Ve could find a way through if she has a spike in form. But Kasatkina in the fourth round for me. And then if she's against Rogers, I'd probably pick Rogers by Whisker, actually.
Yeah. That's tricky.
It's hard to call.
Yeah, for sure.
I had Kasatkina earlier in the week, and I've swayed to Rogers now.
Interesting.
Just based on the serve. So it's difficult. But I'll pick Rogers there.
Okay, that's very interesting. I'm going to go with Kazakina. I just feel like she's been so good this year. Top 10 player now. San Jose final still stuck in my head. Rogers, if she can sustain it for over a set, definitely a good bet. But I feel like Kazakina's variety and just her consistency from the back of the court.
Oh, and the last two sets were quite grim, weren't they, actually?
Yeah, 6-1, 6-2, and I can't overlook that, so I just have to...
Yeah.
I just think that San Jose match is pretty relevant. That was also kind of a fast, hard court, just like this.
Yeah.
And also Rogers, I think she does really well with the upsets, but then I think backing up those wins has been tough for her. That's why she's probably the best player to have never won a title, but that's also why I haven't really seen
her. Like last year does come to mind, actually, when she played Raducanu in the fourth round. That was brutal. That was really not a nice thing to watch. So I guess mental scars maybe do have to be considered. I won't jump ship. But...
Oh, I also forgot she's playing Harriet Dart in the first round. That's actually not super easy.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I like Dart more on grass, for sure.
Right, okay.
So yeah.
I don't know enough about Dart's game, actually. I've seen her play a wee bit. I think I saw her play Keys maybe this year on grass, and she kind of got blown off the court, but obviously Keys can do that to anybody, so.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then I see Fernandez and Contavate in this section. I have no idea if Contavate is going to get far or if Serena can go on another, if Serena can actually stretch this out a bit.
I have my pick here. I'll save it a wee bit. First, Fernandez for me.
Okay.
That first round's not easy.
Interesting. Yeah, I have her losing in the second round, actually, to a Russian player.
Oh, really? Okay. Yeah, so do I. But
Samsonova.
One Samsonova, maybe. But I was just going to say, yeah, Dodan also isn't a walkover, to be fair. Hits the ball incredibly big. Just kind of that, one of those younger players who hasn't really learned how to rein it in properly yet. But, I mean, if she's playing well enough for two sets, then could easily see somebody like Fernandez getting beat by her. But, yeah, you'd make Fernandez the favourite there. Samsonova, I fancy Samsonova to beat Fernandez.
I do too. Sure. On these quick hard courts, first strike tennis, big serve, big forehand.
Yeah.
Big ground strokes in general, just very under the radar, you know, not many people talk about her. So I like that pick. I have the same thing. And Krejcikova has been struggling as of late, but I could see her getting to the third round. I actually have Samsonova coming through this section. Oh my gosh.
How far? Bunch of interest?
I have her in the semis.
Yes, Vange. Here we go.
I have her in the semis. Okay,
I've got her in the semis as well.
Oh my goodness, dude! I have her beating Kazakina in the quarters, and I actually did check their head-to-head before, and they've never played each other.
Yeah.
So that will be interesting.
I love that you've got the same pick there, because I've been in love with Samsonova's game for so long. It's brilliant, and like all of a sudden, we're seeing it consistently come into the fore, like pretty much. But the last, three tournaments or something, like, she's not lost a match that, you know, she shouldn't have lost. She's been winning matches very easily a lot of the time. Is she in a final this week? Is that right?
Yeah, I think in Granby, right? Or was it Granby or was it, oh, actually, no, she just won. She won in,
there we go then. Yeah,
she won in Cleveland. Oh my God. Yeah, actually, I just saw this. So she beat Sasnovic 6-1, 6-3 in the final.
Wow, okay.
And she didn't drop a set all week. She beat Sigmund, Lynette, Para.
She's been brilliant, that's the thing. She's learning how to sort of like harness her crazy power.
And the thing is, she's on a 10-match winning streak because she didn't play the Masters.
Oh, did she not? I didn't know that.
Yeah, I think injury. And so she beat Kanepi in that final we were discussing on your show. And then she hasn't bust. She's won two 250s getting into the US. Yeah, I like this. I like this a lot. I feel good about it, actually.
So I think she's playing top 10 tennis for me.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like her game. So, Garcia and Samsonova for me in the semis.
Yeah, Halep and Samsonova, I guess. Yeah, not much different. Yeah.
Yeah. So, who's your pick for Halep and Samsonova?
I basically picked Halep to beat Samsonova because Halep. But actually, if I was really to think about it properly, Halep could get beat by Samsonova kind of easily for exactly the same reason you just mentioned earlier. Like, if somebody's got a red line that's just too high, like Rybakina, she could just get blown off the court. So if I put Samsonova that far, I'm still picking Halep. Because I'm still picking Halep, but I really should. I should think about it properly because Banch, I've not got the guts to back Samsonova to get to a final, to be honest. That's literally all it is. But logic, really, if I put Samsonova that far, I should be backing the Russian.
I'm going to go with Garcia again. versus Samsonova. I just think the hot streak continues, and I think the crowd will really get behind someone like Garcia as opposed to
they'll love Garcia, Samsonova. Yeah,
and the Flair, sure. I think she brings that extra net game and attacking tennis where she can take time away. For Samsonova, it's more about power and setting up big shots, but for Garcia, I think she'll be able to find those finishes, and she'll just keep on playing this kind of aggressive brand of tennis, and it's gonna really be effective. So I have Garcia versus Osaka in the final.
I'm sticking to Halep, but as I've just said, logic maybe should have maybe changed my decision, but I'll stick with Halep. And on the other side, what, Kino and Zeng and Pliskova? So I'm gonna pick Zeng.
Okay.
I'm gonna pick Zeng in the final.
Zeng versus Halep. Okay, that's a rematch of round two of the French Open.
And then, barring, which is genuinely is a factor. I mean, actually, Halep had a panic attack in that match. I really hope that doesn't become something that. If that happened, I really hope that isn't a factor. Let's just say it's not. I'd pick Halep.
Okay.
Because Halep in a first US Open final, I mean, she takes the opportunity by the scruff of the neck, surely.
That will be a very impressive career she'll have racked up with the US Open title right there. Then she's only missing Australia, which she was literally 5 points away from winning again in 2018. So, my goodness. Yeah, that would be amazing.
That'd be great.
Yeah, I have Osaka winning.
Okay, I love it.
I have Osaka beating Garcia. Like I said, never lost a final, never lost a semi, never lost a quarter. It's an even year. She wins a hardcore major every year. I have to go with it. And because of her draw and Collins, and I think by then she'll be really, really engaged. She'll have all. I like her serve to get through big situations. Yeah. I think Garcia sometimes doesn't have a great serving day, and it can cost her. And Osaka, I'm tempted with the variety, but apart from net rushing and a lot of really good volleys and net play, I think I don't see a whole lot of like supreme variety, and it can all just go wrong. Garcia in a slam final for the first time, I mean, never been in that situation. I don't know how she'll handle it. So that's why I'm going with
Garcia. Is probably incomparable, but Garcia's got a pretty decent final record as well, right?
She does,
but just not in
majors. That's the only
difference. Exactly. That's the telling factor, Vange.
Yeah, obviously she has the 3 1000s, and she made the World Tour finals, and she has a 9-3 record in finals, something crazy, some really good stat. 10-3, I think she has 10 titles. But I back experience there, so I'm just gonna go with.
You back a 4-0 record in slam finals over a 10-3 record over all 20. Yes.
So that's what I mean by experience in majors. Yes. Yeah, so that's what I got.
It's an exciting draw, Vaj. I think our calls, though they are bold, are not unprecedented given the year we've had.
Yeah, it's definitely not. And at the end of the day, I'm still going with a big name who's won 4 majors for crying out loud. So
that's true. Yeah, I'm still going for the 2-time major champion. Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. So at the end of the day, and we did have sort of Kvitova, get to the final last week. Like, these are players who've been there, done it. They're not really flash in the pan in the context of a whole career. So I think that's.
Yeah, exactly.
That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
For sure. All right. Yeah. Thank you so much, Jack, for joining me. This was a blast. I love doing these shows. And
No worries, Vance. I really enjoyed it, actually. It was a really good fun. Happy to come on next time you need me, of course.
Yep. Anytime. All right. Take care. See ya.
Thanks, Vance.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.